God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. We do record our messages. I'll upload them to a shared drive, and then a dear brother of ours uploads them to the church's website and puts the link on the church's Facebook page so that people elsewhere can hear it as well, or we can go back and listen to it again. We have people in different parts of the country that listen to this. I've got friends that were in Tucson, Arizona. They were in Phoenix, Arizona. They were in Mesa, right outside of Phoenix. But they are now in Texas, what they call the halfway house. They just bought a house halfway between two of their kids. So, I know they listen to it. We have another good friend in Buffalo that listens to the message. We have other people, a lady that attended here for a while, and she's now down in Saratoga Springs with family. So there are people scattered around who are listening to the messages, and I praise God for that. 4 years ago, the day before I retired from my day job, one of the people that I know from work came up and said, "Hey, I was listening to one of your messages the other day." Praise God. Completely shocked me, but God's word is going forth, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God is using it to touch people's lives, that we're not limited to, in this day and age, we're not limited to the people that can hear the sound of our voice unaided and unamplified, but God is able to put people in our path and hear things. I know my sister-in-law down in Florida listens to the messages as well. I know Jackie listens to the messages when she's back home in Texas for the winter. So, praise God. I don't know what Jim does. Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about having grace, that God gives us grace to help. He guides us, He keeps us, He directs us. In Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Stop right there for just a moment. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You want a translation of that? God holds us up as trophies of His grace. He says, "You think you're messed up? Look what I did with this one. If I can work in this life, imagine what I can do in yours. I don't know what your history and what your past looks like. I was messed up. I was real messed up. But God decided to touch. God decided to call me. God decided that He had a plan and purpose for my life. And He completely changed my life. And I am so grateful for that. And even now, and you know, I've said this many times, Deb and I were down in Florida. We were going down for a family gathering, and we got there the night before we could check into the campground. So we stopped at the Walmart to park in their parking lot, and went into the customer service counter just to let them know we were there, making sure we weren't going to be in their way, and asked about it. And while we were there, we ran into one of my cousins. And as I'm waiting in line, my cousin is talking with Debbie, and they're going back and forth. And Debbie says how I'm a pastor in Vermont, and now another one of my brothers is a pastor in North Florida. And my cousin just starts shaking her head. She's 10 years younger than I am. And she just starts shaking her head, and Debbie says, "What?" She says, "When we were growing up, they was the heathen. We were the bad example that you never wanted your child to grow up like. Don't be like those boys." Yet God had a plan and purpose. The dear brother who uploads the messages for us, he attended here for quite a while and left to spend time working on some family dynamics. But I remember him covering the pulpit and listening to the message that he was preaching, you know, after he'd given it. Like I said, we've been recording the messages for quite some time. And I remember him saying that he is so grateful that I have the testimony that I did, and he's just as grateful that he did not have a testimony like mine. God doesn't take us all down the same path, but he brings us into relationship with him in his ways. Getting back on verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had a plan and purpose for your life and my life before we were ever born. And he's led us down a path. He's been with us. He's nudged us. Maybe sometimes he puts obstacles in our path to direct us the way he wants us to go. Sometimes he might open a door. Sometimes he might close the door. But he has a plan and purpose for our life. And when we're disobedient to him, when we're running from him, he still hasn't given up. The scripture says that the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, God does not change his mind about what he wants us to do. And he continues to try and get our attention and to draw us close. There was 16 years I did not darken a church door. But when I finally made such a mess of my life, I had no choice. And I finally surrendered to the Lord. I found out he was right there the whole time with open arms, waiting for me to turn. And he still, his plan and purpose for my life had not changed. He still had the same thing in mind. And here I am. Praise God, I'm now serving the Lord a lot longer than I ran from him. But he's still not done with me. He still continues to refine me and each of us. Verse 10 said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God built us. God knit us together in our mother's womb with a plan and good works he would have us to do and use us in the midst of in our lives. That God prepared, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He is the one who directs our steps. Praise God. Let's go to Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 11. In the earlier parts of this chapter, it talks about the rest of God. On the sixth day, God finished all his creation. On the seventh day, he rested. And it talked about entering into God's rest. So going on verse 11, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In those previous verses, they had talked about the children of Israel when they went to go to the promised land and they sent in the spies. And two spies returned with a good report. But 10 said, we can't go in there. Those people, there's giants in the land. Those cities are walled. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But the two, Joshua and Caleb, had came in and said, yes, they are big, and yes, it's a fruitful land, and yes, there are walled cities, but our God, the God who brought us here, will bring us in there. But the people turned around and did not enter into the rest of the Lord. That's what this referred to, the same example of disobedience. Carrying on verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Stop right there for just a second. As we go into the Word of God and we read the Word of God and pray and seek God's face, he'll reveal through the Word of God our shortcomings. He'll also reveal through the Word of God the direction we should go. The Word of God is living and powerful in this translation. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, gets right down inside us. To say, this is right, this is wrong. This is what you're doing right, this is what you're doing wrong. And continue to guide us. Not to bring us under condemnation, but to bring us under conviction. Not to be condemned with the world, but that he might direct us to do His will and to walk in His ways. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus was born a baby in Bethlehem. In Bethlehem. Started to say in the woods, out in the fields outside of Bethlehem, but no, the shepherds came in. Born in Bethlehem, came and lived a perfect, sinless life. But He was tested in all areas, such as the same as we are. He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to be disappointed. He knows what it's like to be falsely accused. He knows what it's like to have difficulty. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be cold. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to try and walk through this life as a human being. We don't have a high priest who can't be touched with our infirmities, but we have a high priest who knows, who's been there, and who understands. He was fully man and fully God. That we might have someone to go to that we know understands what we're facing. That we know understands our need. That we know understands our frailties and our shortcomings. And we might go to Him and find grace to help in time of need. We just read back in Ephesians that God created us for good works. He created us for a purpose, and He wants to hold us up as trophies of His grace. Here in Hebrews, we find out that the Word of God reveals everything going on in us, but also leads us to that great high priest that can relate to us and knows who we are. He's going into 2 Corinthians verse 12, or chapter 12. Beginning with verse 6, Paul talks about some of his revelations, some of the things he's seen, and some of the things that God has done in him and shown him in the first 5 verses. And then he comes to verse 6, and he says, "For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I do take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul says, "God showed me so many wonderful things, and I wanted to share those things, but I didn't want anybody thinking it was all about me." And he said, "Lest I be exalted above measure because of the revelations, a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh." And nothing in Scripture ever tells us what this thorn in the flesh is. There's a lot of people who have been trying to figure it out. But this much we know. If it said, "God gave me a bum knee," it's, "Oh, that's what that is. That's a messenger of Satan." If he had identified what the affliction was, what the problem was, then we'd say, "Oh, well, I don't have that going on in my life, so obviously I'm not being tested there. Or I have that going on in my life. Obviously that's what it is." Paul says, "This was given to me to keep me humble, lest I be exalted above measure," is what the words leading right up to it are. Lest I be, overblown with self-importance. This messenger in the flesh, this thorn in the flesh was given to me. And I prayed to the Lord 3 times that it might be gone. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Back in Hebrews just a few minutes ago, we were reading about grace to help in time of need. And you say, well, wait a minute. God, I've got this ailment. I've got this sickness. I've got this whatever it is, this thing that's holding me back. And maybe that is part of the grace of God, because He still has a plan and purpose. Jackie, you just talked about your friend that losing both legs, and yet has a heart knowing that God is doing something wonderful. It is not our physical condition. It is not our financial condition. It is not any of those that say how wonderful we are at doing God's will. It is trusting God that no matter what comes our way, His grace is sufficient. He gives us what we need. He guides us through it. And He has a plan and purpose. No matter what the situation is, no matter what it is that we face, we can trust that God is in control. He gives us grace to help. And even though it may not be what the world says is a good thing, it is still the grace of God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows who knows the plan He has for us, to give us a future and a hope, to bless us and to use us and to make us lights and to hold us up as trophies of His grace. But He keeps us even in the midst of whatever it is we're facing. Let me go on. Paul talks about taking pleasure in his infirmities, in reproaches, and in needs. I got news for you. I don't take great pleasure in my infirmities. Maybe it's because I don't trust God enough to know what He's doing. Up here I do, but in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of problems, are we grateful knowing that God has us in the palm of His hands and nothing comes into our life that He hasn't allowed to be there? And He has already said He will cause all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I know I've been called according to His purpose. It's been demonstrated way too many times for me to ever doubt it. And I know He loves me because He hasn't cast me aside. He is still at work in my life. Praise God. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 1. Paul writing to the Philippian church. Now remember, Paul just talked about taking glory in his afflictions and in his infirmities. He's going to boast in those. I take pleasure in them. In Philippians 1, Paul is at this time in prison in Rome. And he's writing this letter from prison. Best I understand it, it's kind of along the lines of house arrest, only you've got to pay for the house. You just have to have the guards are around you, and you're never alone. Paul writing to the Philippians, chapter 1, starting with verse 3, says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. And again, we can stop right there for just a moment. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Has God worked in your life? He's not stopping. God is stubborn. He knows what He wants, and He's going to get it. He who has begun the good work is going to continue that work in us. We're never alone. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's never abandoned, never discarded. If He took the effort, the God of the whole universe, created the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that in them is, if He took the time to work in your life, why would He waste that effort? If He started it, He's going to bring it to pass. Praise God. Verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all in the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, and that you may approve of the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Stop right there for just a moment. Paul is in chains. He's been arrested. He's in Rome. He's got guards around him at all times. He's been beaten multiple times. He's been shipwrecked multiple times. He's been lowered out of a basket to escape a city twice. He's been stoned. All of these things have happened in Paul's life. And he said, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul says, I've gone through a lot, but God has used it for the furtherance of the gospel. God has used it to be a witness to the palace guard. God has used it to strengthen the brethren. God has used it to make an impact in this place. That's why Paul can say, as we read back in there, I will take pleasure in my infirmities. Because Paul knows that whatever happens, God is using it. We forget that in our modern society where we want things comfortable, where we want things all orderly, where we want things laid out and we know what's going to happen, where we can look on our calendar and find out where such and such and things are going to happen. But we need to learn again to trust the Lord. That's why we read a little while ago back in Hebrews that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you're not in the Word, how's the Word going to be penetrating you? How's the Word going to be examining you? Paul says, the things that I've gone through, God has used it, and look what God has done. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy, final passage, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Stop right there for just a minute. Remember what Paul has gone through. But I thank God that he counted me faithful and put me in ministry. I thank God that he brought me through all of these things because his ways are right. His ways are perfect. 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I can't even claim that. I grew up in a church. I grew up knowing the Word of God. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Therefore, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern for those who are going to believe on him for eternal life, or for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's final closing in this chapter right here is to give praise to God for having brought him through all that mess that he might show his love to the people around him. We read it in the Philippians. We read it in the Epistle to Philippians. All these things happened, but God used it. And God has demonstrated to the royal court, and even the brethren are encouraged and aren't afraid to share the word. What's God doing in your life? We may not always understand what's happening, but I guarantee you from the God who does not change that the work he's doing in your life is for the purpose of showing his love and grace and mercy to the people around us. When we're facing difficulties, when we're facing good times, whatever we're facing, it is God's grace that brings us through. He gives us grace to help in time of need, and his grace is sufficient for us. Praise God. Praise God, He didn't leave me where I was. Praise God, He didn't leave any of us. And in fact, He's not leaving us where we are right now. He's going to continue. He who began the good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. Praise God, He's not done. Amen. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. This Word that does examine us, that pierces inside and that just discerns between soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, that Your Word reveals what's actually going on in us, Father, and Your grace and Your love and Your mercies that work in our lives. Father, You haven't left us alone. You haven't deserted us. But Lord, You continue to direct our steps. You continue, Father, to guide us. You continue, Father, to work Your plan. This plan that You created before time began, that You know everything about us, that You can look back. We look back through the genealogies and know that You know where we came from. We look through Scripture. We look in Revelations and You know, when we know that You know what's coming and You are still directing us and still guiding us. You have us here in this portion of time. You have us here, right now, in this generation for Your purpose. And You've created us in Christ Jesus for good works. And we thank You, Father, for the work that You're doing in us and through us. We thank You, Father. We boast in our infirmities. We boast, Father, in the difficulties, knowing, Father, that You have not brought us this far to leave us. You do not put us in the middle of a fiery furnace without going with us. You do not put us in the middle of a crucible without, Father, directing us through the other side. Everything we face is for the purpose of refining us and using us to show Your love to the people around us, that You might hold us up as Your trophies of grace. Father, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcdt.org.